You just ministered to the Lord with praise from your hearts. When I used to hear that, ministering to the Lord, I would think, that's impossible. How can I minister to the Lord? But He loves it. He loves our presence, you guys. Probably more than we even love His. He loved it so much that He did exactly what John shared with us last week. He became a man and died for us. It's an amazing thing. I don't completely understand it, but I just know that it's what moves me and drives me to walk with the Lord. We're in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We started last week. Let's just start in the beginning and just read through. This is such a beautiful gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gave light to every man who came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I have said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah says." Now these were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "What then? Do you baptize? Why do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, you are so good. And God, there is so much in your word we could spend a year here, God. We thank you, God. We pray tonight you would open our ears that we may hear. You would teach us from your loving grace, God, and you would show us, Lord, how to be a true man of God. How to stand up, Father, in the midst of tribulation and trials. How to walk, Father, in the power of you. Father, I pray that you would increase here, Lord, as we would decrease. You would be glorified, Lord, as we would be hidden. Father, people would look into this congregation and see Jesus, and they would just want more of it. Father, I pray that we would become more like Jesus every day. And Father, as we start this church, we pray that your hand would be upon it, as it has been by the past, but even heavier. We pray, Father, a double portion of your Spirit poured out in this place even tonight. For God, we desire to be used and to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Last week we talked about Jesus Christ being the very God of gods, the creator of all things. And as we read, John the Baptist was the light just shining towards him. He was just bearing witness of the light. We talked about the sun and the moon and how the moon reflects the light, reflects the sunlight. It just illuminates that light as John just reflected the light of Jesus Christ. We learned that Jesus Christ came into the world and the world didn't receive him. We learned that he gives light to every man. We learned that people must be born again, not born of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but the will of God. Meaning man needs to be born again from above, not according to what I work or what I try to do, but surrendering my will completely to him. We learned that John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus, but he said Jesus was eternal. He was preferred before me, though John really was born physically before him. We learned that Jesus Christ, the God-man, came to this earth to die for sinners like me and you. We learned some beautiful things. We learned that in his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace upon grace. Like the ocean would continue to crash waves upon waves, this grace of God would continue to crash upon our lives, waves after waves. They never stop. Through the storm, you go to the ocean and it's raining. The storm's coming down. The waves are still crashing. Fighting through the wind, it doesn't matter. The waves will still crash. So the grace of God through storms and tribulations in our life continues to crash upon us. Just love. Unmerited favor. Not earned, not deserved, but just given freely out of love. We learned that in him is all of our fullness. That's all we need is Jesus. He's the fullness. We need no psychiatrist. We need no counsel, but from the Word of God. Those things are second to the Word of God. We found that the emptiness in our lives, anything we desire or want, we can find it in Jesus. He's the fullness. There's nothing but him. He fills all in all. He fills every part of our darkened hearts. He gives us light to those parts that are so wicked and so wrong. He brings forth salvation for us. He gives us free gift of eternal life. And he gives us life and that life more abundantly here and now on earth. It's Jesus. He's the fullness. We learned that he is the only one that was face to face with God. He's the only one that could declare God to us. That could actually in the Greek mean to bring God out and show him openly to humanity. For you see, before Jesus came, there was the law of Moses. Men did not understand God. They thought God was so wrathful, so mean. Oh, but God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked man, but that he would turn and live. So we find tonight a witness of Jesus, as we must be witnesses of Jesus. We find from verse 19 through verse 28, John the Baptist proclaimed the way, prepared the way. He was preparing the way of Jesus Christ, as we're still called to do. Verse 19, now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him. This is John's testimony. This is not John the apostle, the one that wrote the book, but don't get this confused. This is John the Baptist, that voice crying in the wilderness. We must learn a few things about John, first of all. John, he was raised up in a priest's home. We find that Luke chapter 1. We find that he was Zechariah's son, Zechariah and Elizabeth. He was a son that was given to them. An angel, as Zechariah was ministering at the altar of the Lord. Now you find, you guys, we're still really in the Old Testament here. Really, John the Baptist is the last Old Testament prophet. You see, and they're still ministering according to the law in the temple. They haven't heard from God for 400 years. Silence. The Lord hasn't spoke audibly as he did in the past. In the temple with the priest and Zacharias, an angel appeared to him as he was there at the altar of incense, as he was giving prayers for the people as the priests do. The angel appeared to him and said, you're going to have a son. Your wife's going to bear a son. You see, this was a son. He said, call this your son, John. He's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And John the Baptist was raised in a priest's home. These priests and Levites that came to him, oh, they knew exactly who he was, and he knew who they were. It wasn't just a surprise. Now, John, He's out there in the Jordan River, probably 18 miles from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the headquarters of the religious sect in that day. It would be the headquarters. It's where everything happens. It's where all the commands come from. And John, this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John knew these guys. Now, John the Baptist, imagine it, raised in a priest's home. These guys are wearing their robes. They're really religious. They're really reverent and really godly. John the Baptist, there he is. You know who he reminds me of? My buddy Aaron. Have you guys ever seen Aaron stick his hair straight up? Now, his hair, it gets like this high. And he shakes it like this, right? And John the Baptist, he's out there. The Bible says he had camel's hair. Okay? For clothing. It's like steel wool. And the Bible says that he's got a leather belt on. The only decent thing he had. He lived on locusts and honey. I can imagine the guy living in the wilderness by the Jordan River. The place was, in the Jordan River, it was a valley. It was really lush. But right around it all was the desert, the sand. It was the contrast between the greenery and the sand. And there's a wild man out there with his hair sticking up like, maybe like Aaron. Okay, I love you, buddy. And I'm sorry. It's the only thing that came to mind. And now John, now these people, these priests, these Levites, they know John well. They were raised with John. They served with John. He was a priest's son, meaning that he would have been a priest too. John the Baptist, he's out there. You can find it in Matthew chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, and Mark chapter 1. The account of John the Baptist. He's out there. He's got camel's hair on for clothing. It's like steel wool. This guy's crazy. The Bible says his diet was locusts and honey. He's got a grasshopper hanging out of his mouth, honey dripping down his beard. He's out there yelling, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Can you see it? Put yourself in the situation. Now these guys, they're raised with them. They come out, "John, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? Have you lost it?" The Bible says that all Judea, Jerusalem, and all the regions around the Jordan came out to see John. He was drawing people. There was revival happening. They were getting baptized. John was there preparing the way of the Lord. He was out there preaching, "Repent, the Lord is coming." These Pharisees, these legalists, these people that we find even today, this religiousness comes out and says, "What are you doing? You can't do this. What's wrong with you?" And he would turn to them and say, "You children of snakes, you brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John was hardcore. If you found a guy on the street doing this today, we'd probably be like these Pharisees. "Dude, what are you doing? Don't do this." See, John had biblical grounds for it, we'll find in our text. He heard from the Lord, it says there in Luke, and he went out to the wilderness. He was born for this very purpose, filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb of his mother. John the Baptist was a radical man of God. He didn't fear man. He wasn't going to stand by and let man stop him from doing what the will of God was. John the Baptist was going to proclaim the gospel that he was called to do no matter what happened. He was willing to give up all of comfort, all of luxury at home, to go out and to camp out in the wilderness, to live on locusts and wild honey, to wear camel's hair. It's like steel wool. You guys ever smelled a camel? They reek. I mean, we got to get the picture of this. Now here comes the priests and Levites. They're in their robes and they come out, an 18-mile journey. They're coming out. They're sent by the headquarters of the church in that time. Oh, this is just great. "Who are you?" He confessed. They're saying, "Who are you? You think you're the Christ." And he knew what they were saying. They knew what he was saying. Remember, all these people are studying in the Old Testament. "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." He says, "I'm not the Christ. That's not me. No. Look to Christ, preparing the way for the Lord." He's not proclaiming to be anything but simple, a simple voice. And it says, and they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Notice his words get slimmer and slimmer. First he says, I am not the Christ. Then he says, I am not. Then he says, no. Notice that he knows what they're doing. You see, they didn't want an answer from him. They wanted to condemn him. They wanted to tell him he was wrong. They didn't care what he had to say. They would just keep on moving on. Now, the prophet that we see here is we find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 through 16. Or 15 through 18. You guys can look that up later. It's a prophet Moses said would rise up. And these guys all were very studied. Elijah, the Bible says that John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And it says there in Malachi, and they were referring to this, it says that Elijah would come back and turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and that is still to come. You see, Jesus came first as a lamb, and he's coming again as a lion. The great and terrible day of the Lord is the day of tribulation, is when the Lord's coming back, he's taking his saints out, and tribulation's gonna happen. That's the great and terrible day of the Lord. And they were mistaken on their scriptures. But John simply said, no, no, no. I am none of those. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? They said, well then tell us who you are. He says, what do you say about yourself? And he remarks by this. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, he says, I'm a voice. I am nobody but a simple voice saying, look to Jesus. You guys, if we want to see revival, as John the Baptist experienced radical revival, all of Jerusalem and Judea came to hear what he had to say, and all the regions around the Jordan. People were just going out to see what John would say. You guys, I mean, it wasn't like they jumped in their car and just cruised out. I think we'll, you know, go down to the river and check out this wild man eating locusts and wild honey and, you know, wearing camel's hair and preaching. No, it was a long journey. 18 miles on foot from Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Sandals. They didn't have nice, you know, running shoes. And the heat, do you know that in this time here, where he was in this region, the temperatures barely ever dropped below 100 degrees. It was very hot. It was a guy out in the wilderness screaming and revival was happening. Why? He was not focused on himself, on his church, on his religion, on this certain thing here or certain thing there. He was focused on Jesus Christ. He was just saying, look to him, he's Jesus. I've come to prepare the way of the Lord. I'm here to proclaim to you that Jesus is here. He's living and he's real. Now Jesus is in the midst right now as he speaks of this. And we're going to find out this is after Jesus Christ has been baptized, gone into the wilderness to be tempted, and he's come back. It's probably approximately about 6 weeks after Jesus Christ was baptized. And John is going to show us. He's standing in our midst. Now, John knows who he is, but he hasn't openly proclaimed him yet. He says, I'm a voice. I'm pointing to Jesus. I want you guys to focus on Jesus. Look at Jesus, because that's where it's at. You guys, as us being witnesses, we need to be John the Baptist's. He says, that I would decrease and he would increase. You guys, this convicted my heart this week. That God would come along and say, and because my heart so deeply burns and yearns for revival. And if God would come along and say, Trent, step on down, get out of the way so I can do revival. Would my heart just run out of the way? Would my heart get out of the way if he says, I'm going to raise somebody else up to do what you're doing? Get out of the way. Would I say, oh, praise Jesus. And if you do revival, whatever, just get me out of the way. Wherever you want me, Lord, that's where I'll be. Is that in our heart today? You guys, let us not be like the Pharisees with selfish ambitions. With saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I'm just showing you the way of the Lord. They are hardened in the heart, not wanting to even hear what John would have to say. John doesn't care about what man says, doesn't fear men in any sort or any way. All he cares about is focusing on Jesus. John was completely consumed with Jesus, just saying, go. It's Jesus. You guys, that's all it is. It's all about Jesus. This voice, he was crying. You see, you can hear a voice. That's it. It's just a voice. You don't see a voice. John was invisible. You guys, let us be invisible in our lives. How? We've got to be consumed with Jesus. There's no other way. This guy just laid it all aside. What this world had to offer him, dump it. Because the Lord spoke to him, and he was going to go on about what the Lord spoke to him. Look what it says. As the prophet Isaiah says, he's got biblical grounds to what he's doing. He's doing this because the Word of God declared it. And he was called to do it. The Lord laid it on his heart. He stepped out in faith and did it. You guys, we need to be in our Bibles. We need to do things according to the Word of God, and we will see revival. Now, what the first mark of revival is, there is a rumor today that revival is sweeping the church. And there's this movement of emotions and a movement of laughing and carrying on and all this nonsense that's not in the Word of God. Let me tell you what biblical revival brings. It brings repentance of sin. John the Baptist says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Revival brings changed lives, not at church, but all week long. Revival brings a person filled with the Holy Spirit that walks with God through the thick and the thin. That's revival. We need desperate revival in the church. Revival brings a person that shines for Jesus. Not a person that is focused on self and emotions and what can I get out of this. Revival is beautiful, and I pray that we're going to see it. And I believe we're going to see it. I'm telling you that God Almighty is so big that He can shut down bars and turn them into churches. I'm telling you that God Almighty is living and powerful. And His Word is sharper than any double-edged sword. As we go out on Saturday nights, I watch God break walls down in front of me. You guys, we just don't believe in Jesus. Is He the fullness? Can God Almighty take a porno shop and tear it apart, get the person in there born again, and turn it into a Bible study? Yes, He can. I've seen it in the old. I've read about it. Bars were shut down. The city was changed. Jesus wants to do that in this city today. And He's just looking for those hearts that would say, Lord Jesus, I don't have much. Lord Jesus, I'm really weak, but Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to lay aside all that I've ever had or earned on this earth. I'm willing to lay aside comfort and pleasure. I'm willing to lay aside my own flesh and my own desires for sin. And I'm willing to say, Jesus, I surrender my complete life to You. I'm Your bondservant. Do with what You will. I don't care if You raise him up higher than me. I don't care if this person does that. I'll just serve. What do You want me to do? Here I am, Lord. Send me. The Lord's looking for it. And who's He going to use? The youth of this world. What do I see in front of me? I see the youth, you guys. Young people that say, I'm not bound by anything. I've got nothing holding me down. Give me the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to run after Him full on. He's my fullness. He's my all in all. I'll live for Him. There's no greater joy. We've been fully deceived living any other way. Totally deceived. John the Baptist is a witness to me today. He's a witness saying, Trent, lay it aside. And one thing John the Baptist though did spend his time in is the Word of God. For John knew what scriptures to use. John knew answers to give people. You see, the Pharisees said, they came to him and said, what shall we do? They were repenting. There were some that did. They came and said, you'll find it in Matthew, or you'll find it in Luke. You'll find it in Matthew and Luke, in chapters, both of them in chapter 3. They say, what shall we do? He says, you got two cloaks? Give one to your others. You've got food? Give it to the poor. Feed, help, give your life away. Now he says that to the Pharisees, but then the tax collectors, they say, what shall we do? He said, don't collect more than is legal. Be honest with everything you have. The soldiers say, oh, John, what shall we do? We repent. But he says, bear fruit worthy of these repentance. You'll see a changed life with repentance. What should we do? He says, you know, don't force anybody to give you money. Be content with your wages. You see, John had an answer for every question that came his way using the Word of God. If you guys would, turn to Isaiah chapter 40 with me. Isaiah chapter 40. This is where John quoted from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, starting in verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That means double for all her sins, double grace, grace upon grace. Because her iniquities have been pardoned, she's received double forgiveness for all of her sins. The voice of one, verse 3, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert the highway for our God. These Jewish people knew exactly what John was saying. He was saying, I'm making ready the way for the highway of my God, Jesus Christ, who is God. John's gospel is so profoundly laid out. John picks these certain things out of the life of Christ to put them in to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. Right there it says he's preparing the way of God. And whoever's way he's preparing here is the God Almighty. And we know it's Jesus Christ. You guys, this is so beautiful. I just love it. Turn on back to John. So John and these Jewish people knew exactly what John was talking about. There was no hiding. There was no misunderstanding there. They're angry with John. They said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. Verse 25, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered and said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you who you do not know. John says, they say, why are you baptizing? Really what they're saying is, who gives you the authority to baptize? You see, they didn't just go baptizing people back then. They did do a sort of baptism, but not like John was doing. See, a Gentile would come into the Jewish sect of religion, the Judaizers, to be cleansed. Baptism is always in the scriptures a picture of cleaning of sin. And he's telling them, you need to be baptized because you're a sinner. And they say, we're righteous. We're the Pharisees. We're religious. We know God. You don't. You're out in the wilderness. You're breaking the commandments. Who gave you the authority to baptize John? You're supposed to be back in Jerusalem. You're out here like a raging animal. You're out here in the wilderness eating grasshoppers and running around with camel's hair all over you. What are you doing? John's screaming out, telling us to repent. We don't need to repent. You see, their hearts were hardened. They weren't saying, oh, John, who are you? Please tell us that we may give an answer. No, they're saying, who are you? Tell us that we can go back and give an answer to those that are coming against you, that we can come out here and get rid of you, as they did one time as John was killed later on in the Gospels. But he says, they say, well, if you're nobody, John, if you're just a voice, who gave you the authority? I find in Matthew chapter 21, verse 25, it says Jesus was speaking of John the Baptist there, and it said that he had authority from heaven to do this. Where was his authority? The Lord spoke to him. And his authority was based on scripture, and he was doing the will of God, no matter if even the religious people came against him. He was going to stand up for the truth. John the Baptist, John answered and said, verse 26, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. John the Baptist declared this. He said, there's somebody right here. John was consumed with Jesus. He's here. He's right here in your midst. I could say it tonight. Jesus is here. Read Revelation chapter 1. Jesus is here. He's in our midst. He hangs out in this church. He's here to minister to you. He's here to touch you tonight. He's here to convict you of sin and of unrighteousness. He may make you holy and right, that he may make you usable for his kingdom. Jesus is here. John says, now remember, this is Jesus was baptized by John. The clouds open. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The God-man, Jesus Christ, coming out as a man. And he went into the wilderness immediately compelled by the Holy Spirit. And notice the Holy Spirit compelled him to go be tempted, to go through tribulation. But the Holy Spirit was there helping him through it. And he made it through. And now he's come back. And he's come back to John right here. And it says, there's one here standing in your midst. Behold, he is right here. And he says, he's eternal. He who came after me, oh, he's got authority way above me. He's preferred before me. In fact, he says, I'm not even worthy to loose his sandal. John already loosed his sandal. Back there in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, we find it where Jesus was baptized. John says, I can't do this. I'm not going to baptize you. Jesus is baptizing. No, I'm not baptizing you. No way. I've got no right. John the Baptist was consumed with Jesus. He didn't go, well, you know, look at the revival. Look at all the people coming out from miles and miles by foot through the heat, through the desert and the sand. And they've come out to see me and they've been baptized and God's doing a work. Look at me. He says, no, I'm a voice. And you can't see a voice. You can just hear one. Jesus, Jesus, that's all he was consumed with. He says, I'm not even worthy. I can't take his sandal, even touch it. Now, you know, in these days, these guys knew exactly what he's talking about. For to take a sandal off somebody was the job of a servant. And a servant would do this. John says, you know what? The lowest servant of the house, I'm not worthy to be in his place because Jesus is here. And I don't even have the right. A low servant can do it, but I don't. We find Jesus Christ doing the same thing in John chapter 13 to his own disciples. You guys, it's all about humility. You see, what you think and what I think is humility and what God thinks is a different thing. For John the Baptist is one of the most humble men I've ever seen in the scriptures. But he was definitely a bold man. Humility is of the heart between you and the Lord. It's, Lord Jesus, get rid of me and let you just shine through me, that I would be a light, a city that couldn't be hidden. Jesus, I don't care what I want. All I want is what you want. This is a humble heart. This doesn't mean a humble guy is just a doormat that everybody walks over. John the Baptist stood his ground. He quoted the scripture. He knew what he was talking about. He had a vision and he had a goal. As we today must have a vision and a goal. Let me ask you, what is your goal today? What is your goal in this life today? What is your goal for eternity and for your future here? What is your goal even this week? What is your vision? Is it to glorify Jesus? Is it to say, Jesus, increase, get me out of the way. Jesus, I want to be more like you when I walk out of this room today. I want to be more like Jesus. Is that our goal, you guys? Is that our very all in all? Is that our heart's desire? That's a humble man. That's somebody saying, Lord, I acknowledge apart from you, I can do nothing. But I acknowledge the cross and I acknowledge with your word in my heart, your love in my heart and your spirit moving me and compelling me. Man, I'm just going to be a voice, Lord, loving people for you, sharing your love with them. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to shine. I'm going to be a testimony of Jesus. By my lifestyle, by my words, by my actions, by my sincere, everyday, practical love for people. I'm going to stop on the side of the road and help that lady change her tire. Jesus, I'm going to smile and share the gospel with her. I'm not going to come down on her, condemn her. When I go get my haircut, I'm going to share with people. When I go to the store, I'm just going to shine. I'm not going to just go crazy on people and say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're just going to hell and you need to repent. And no, I'm going to share. I'm going to be friends with people as Jesus was friends with sinners and tax collectors. And they came to him gladly. Is that us? People say, gladly, I would hang out with this person and that person. I just am interested in what they have. They intrigue me. I just see what they have. I mean, what is it? I love hanging out with that person. Oh, but never compromising the truth, sharing the truth at all times, declaring the word of God as John did. He said, I'm not worthy. This is humility. I'm not worthy, but he said to do it. Jesus said, you must do it for that righteousness would be fulfilled. And John baptized him. I'm not worthy, Lord, but you are. And you gave me the authority to baptize people, to share with people, to bring the life and the light of the gospel to people. You gave me that authority. Here I am, Lord. Send me. This is John. He's so beautiful. It says in verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, after me comes a man preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. John says now, the crowds were out there. It was hot. John's baptizing people in the river of Jordan. Mucky, green, ugly river. People are coming from miles around, being baptized by a man that's out in the wilderness, that's wearing clothes that are hideous. He's out there. They're coming. They're coming down in their clothes, and they're being baptized, and they're going back down that long journey of road with a repentant and changed heart. People are being saved. Now the next day comes, and John's declaring to him, and these Pharisees came out to him, and they said, who do you think you are? He went through the whole thing. He says, I'm just a voice. You got a problem with it? Look at Isaiah. You need to repent too, you brood of viper, you snake. That's what he said. He just laid it out to him. And okay, so the day passes by. And whatever happened, I'm sure many people were maybe camping around that area, staying there. And many went back. Now the next day comes. And it says, on the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John said, behold, I see him. Look, it's Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, Jewish people knew what the Lamb of God was. We find in Genesis chapter 4, a lamb being shed for the sin of one man. We go along and we find in Exodus chapter 12, the lamb, the Passover lamb being shed for a whole household. We continue to go on and we find in Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 23, the lamb being shed for the nation. We find though John declaring this is the Lamb of God who was bloodshed for the world. Revelation. It went from one man to a household, to the nation, to the complete world. John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away. You see, in the Old Testament, sins were covered by bulls and goats by their blood, but not taken away. Just covering. To appease the wrath of God for a time until the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come and shed his blood for the complete world. And at this time, he says, that takes away. It's like this. There's a white tablecloth. And I pour out red juice on it. It's stained. It's sick. But I have a napkin that's just white, exactly like a tablecloth, and I cover it. And I put that napkin over it, and it just looks all the same. Everything is white again. That's the covering. That's the covering of the bulls and goats in the Old Testament. But John said, behold, look, the Lamb of God, he's taken it away. He's taken that tablecloth off, and he's putting it in the laundry. And he's going to wash it. And he pulls it back out, and it's as white as snow. That's our hearts and your hearts. You see, it's not sins, but it's sin. He came to deliver man from sin, from the death and the penalty of sin. He came to take away sin. Has he taken away your sin tonight? Has Jesus Christ come as a meek lamb? Has he come, and have you received him by faith? A free gift. Has he taken your sin away? Those of you that have experienced your sin being taken away, you've experienced the Lamb of God who's so gentle. These people knew what Isaiah 53 said. I encourage you guys to jot that down and look that up later. Oh, it's the Lamb, the prophecy of Jesus, of the Messiah coming and taking away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me. John says, this is the guy I've been talking about all the time. This is the Lord, the God, to prepare the highway in the desert for God. As it said in Isaiah, this is him. It's Jesus. He's taken away our sin. He's washed us as white as snow. He was preferred before me. He's the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 31, I did not know him as the Christ he's talking about. He didn't know him as the Messiah, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John heard a word from the Lord, went out to the wilderness, started baptizing, just knowing the Messiah's coming. He just knew he was coming. He didn't know exactly who it was. He walked by faith, not by sight. John walked by faith in the Word of God. What God said goes, and he's going to do it, though the religious people came against him, though people were wondering why he was doing this, though he lived a lifestyle that was so out of the ordinary. Maybe we aren't walking around with grasshoppers hanging out, but people look into your life maybe that don't know Christ, and they say, what is your problem? How can you live like this? Why do you always go to church? Maybe your parents are saying it. Maybe your friends are saying it that aren't saved. Why do you always go to church? What is wrong with you? And they're coming down on you and they're persecuting you. I'm telling you to take the example of John the Baptist. To look at John and see what he did. He just kept on going. He kept on worshiping and praising and doing the perfect sovereign will of God. It was what John did. That's what we need to do. He said, it was revealed to Israel, therefore I did come baptizing with water. And John bore witness. He bore record. He says, I'm a witness. And in the Gospel of John, we're going to find many witnesses of Jesus Christ. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but that he who sent me, God, because it says that over there in verse 6, that God sent him. Therefore was a man sent from God whose name was John. So God spoke to him and God sent him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now God told John, when you see the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove upon him, he's not baptizing him here, but he's bearing witness of what happened before. That's how he knew who Jesus Christ was. He said, behold the Lamb of God, that one that he saw the Spirit of God descend upon. You guys, I want you to know a radical truth right here. Jesus Christ was just like me and you. Yeah, he was God. He was the creator of all. All things were under his feet. All things were created through him and for him, and without nothing that was made through him. But he became flesh. In Philippians chapter 2 verses, let's turn there. Philippians chapter 2. It's too good to pass up. This is a powerful truth, you guys. I encourage you to listen up very closely. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions nor conceit, but with lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17 tells me he became like his brethren, became like me and you. He became in the likeness of man. Here it says in verse 7, but he himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. The word he himself of no reputation means he laid aside all that he owned in eternity. Not saying that he wasn't deity. He was definitely the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. It is so powerful. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became flesh. He said, I own all of eternity and everything that it has in it. The angels worship me, but I've come as the lamb, an innocent lamb for the slaughter, to be slaughtered for man. But we find in Revelation chapter 5, for the person to redeem the world, he's got to be a man, because the world was sold under sin to man. Look it up later. Revelation chapter 5, he took it
Jesus was that man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says there's a mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says that he can sympathize with our weaknesses, for he was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. He was just like me and you. He laid it aside. Not that he didn't have authority, not that he didn't have the power, but when Jesus was on earth, for to become a man, to come from the eternal realm of God, he could not come and declare God to us unless he became like us. As the analogy last week, I talked about the dog. And we would have to become a little dog. So Jesus had to become a man. You guys, I find for eternity, he's no question God. But I find for eternity, he remains as a man. Right now, he's the mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 5 is a lamb which was slain. He became like his brethren. He became just like me and you, that he could sympathize with our weaknesses. He was sinless, though. Jesus Christ was our perfect example. I can relate with Jesus now. He's my example. He's so perfect. He's so right. Jesus Christ did nothing apart from the authority of God the Father. In obedience to the Holy Spirit, he depended on the Holy Spirit, and he did everything by the dependency on the Holy Spirit. In obedience to God the Father, Jesus did and walked on this earth in that manner. We will find in John, he says, I speak nothing but what my Father tells me. Nothing I speak but what my Father tells me. All that I say is from my Father. He was dependent, just like me and you, on the Holy Spirit. He said, it can be done. You can't say, I'm big God, and I'm wrathful, and on judgment day, you can never stand there and say, hey, you weren't fair, you didn't give me a chance. You can't say, you don't understand, God, what it's like to live there, what it's like to live in the world and live like this. Oh, yes, he can say, yes, I became a man. I became a man and I did it for you. You guys, this makes my personal relationship with Jesus deep. It makes it real. Jesus has been where I've been. He's walked where I walked, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him as the form of a dove. He didn't come as a dove, but it was in the form of a dove and remained upon him. And at that time, Jesus Christ, ministry happened. It started. That's when Jesus Christ started moving out in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a heavy concept. I encourage you guys tonight that would think in your mind, I don't know about that, Trent. I study. Read the book of Hebrews. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Hey, don't listen to anything I say. The Bible says that the Bereans in chapter 17, verse 11 of Acts, that the Bereans searched the scriptures daily to find out if these things were so, what Paul was saying. Search. Search the scriptures. Find out if what I'm saying is so. I'm not saying that Jesus Christ is not God in any form or any sort, but I'm saying that he set aside the things that he owned and came to earth and was just like me and you. He felt like I feel. He had emotions just like me and you. Jesus Christ, he cried. He thirsted. We find it all in Scripture. Jesus Christ, he hungered. He was weary. We'll find it in the book of John right here. Jesus Christ felt like me and you feel. That's why he says that you have a high priest that can sympathize with your weaknesses. For he was tempted in all points as you are, yet without sin. And he did it for me and you. He had perfect faith. Imagine. Imagine walking in the power of God, trusting in the Holy Spirit, with perfect faith in God. You'll do stuff like Jesus did. People will be healed. Jesus says, you will do greater things than I when my Holy Spirit comes. You guys, we have such a weak faith, a weak thought and understanding of who God is and who God the Holy Spirit is today. If we knew who God the Holy Spirit was today, we would see this, the divine scriptures, and we would feed on them. We would make him our life, our drink. Jesus said it himself. He says, I am the bread of life that comes from heaven. Eat of me and you'll never hunger. Your soul will never be hungry or thirsty. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. You guys, we need to look at what Jesus did and understand that we, by putting our faith and complete trust, throwing ourselves on the mercy of God, being like John the Baptist saying, not me, God, but you, when he lives through a man, get out of the way. Don't look at other people. Don't look at Christian leaders today. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. And know that he has the power to take you and do things that are just beyond your comprehension. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or think according to the power that is now at work in your own heart. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit has been indwelling you believers today. And I'm not saying get prideful or say, oh, I'm going to do greater things than him. I'm saying humble yourself because God's not going to do anything from you because that's sin. I'm telling you that the grace of God will cover every one of your sins. Jesus came and he took it away. I'm telling you, when the Father looks upon you, you're justified. And he looks down and he sees perfection because the blood of Jesus is covering you. But I'm also telling you that sin is hindering you from knowing your Father, from being used by God. I'm telling you to take sin and get violent with it. Yes, you're forgiven. There's no condemnation. You can enter boldly when you fall. But I'm telling you not to use that for an opportunity for the flesh. I'm saying we need to take up our cross and we need to deny ourselves. We need to follow after Jesus Christ. We need to move out in obedience to the Lord. Not emotions, not a laughter movement, not this or that. Go to the prayer meeting and just get a feeling. Walking every day, step by step in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Laying aside all I desire and what I want of this world. We look at Christians. We say, well, they do this, you know, we can do that. Don't look at people. That's the first stumbling block. Look at Jesus. Look at what he did. Do you want to be used? Does your heart burn to know God like that? To be intimate with the Father like Jesus was there in John chapter 17? Jesus prays that we would be one as he and the Father are one. As a triunity of God are one, inseparable. You can't take them apart. Jesus prays, O Father, that my children would be one with you as I am. He wasn't joking. That's the divine scriptures. The church is suffering from carnality. And it starts right here. I always say this, draw a circle. I heard it from a guy once. Draw a circle around yourself. Get in that circle and pray, God, do revival in this circle. I get in the circle. I say, God, I'm not praying for revival. I pray revival in this circle. You start with you. God, that I would decrease and you would increase in my life. God, that I would die and you would live. For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who's living in me. It's not an emotional thing. It's a reality. It's walking with God. It's saying no to sin and yes to Jesus. It's saying, yes, I'm going to live a holy life. I'm going to pursue the things of God. No, I'm not going to be a legalist. I'm not going to be a jerk. But I'm going to be a man that walks with Jesus. It's real in my life. People will look at you and go, hey, man, you really believe that? You really? And they're just blown away. They might not believe what you say. They might, in fact, disagree 100% with what you say. But they look at you and they say, but I have to say this, you are sincere with what you believe. This lady today, she says, I'm getting my hair cut and I'm talking to her. She's like some branch off from some Muslim religion. And it was just so ridiculous. The religion, I mean, it's just, I mean, I just can't understand it. And she was nice and I was just talking to her and we were having a great time. I was sharing it with Jesus. And I was just, you know, I wasn't coming down on her. I was just saying, you know, she was really interested in, you know, and I'm telling her things and stuff. And she just says at the end, you know, she didn't agree with me, but she said, man, you really believe it. I'm like, yeah, you should come on down to Bible study. You know, I didn't tell her I was doing anything. I didn't tell her I was teacher or anything. And she's like, you'd make a great pastor. You really believe. And what it was is just, I was loving and caring, but fully sincere, man. She knew what I was saying. It wasn't just a book I read. It was my very life. And I was sharing with her. I was telling her about life and about loving God and knowing the intimate God of the world. And he lives in my bedroom and we hang out every day. And I'm just sharing to her about my daddy. And she's just like, whoa. And she took my number. She wants me to come to her meeting. They meet at a house. And she wants me to share with her group and talk to their elders and talk about these things. I say, yeah, I'll be there. No problem. And I was just pointing to Jesus. I told her, she said, well, either you'll convert my elders or they'll convert you. I said, great. That's because I know they aren't converting me. I've been converted, you know, but you can see just death. There was nothing. She had no life. She just had a religion. It started 150 years ago. I mean, come on. I've got an eternal God. He didn't start 20 years ago. He didn't start 2,000 years ago at the cross, 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. He started when time didn't exist. There is no start to Him. He's the living God. And Jesus, He walked with God like this. He walked as we should walk. Yes. Why did Jesus pray? Because He needed His Father. That's why He depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus say, pray, Father, not my will be done, but your will? Yes, He was perfect and never sinned. Jesus can sympathize with my weaknesses, with your weaknesses. You guys, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to know your living God. To know the God of creation. To know Him and to love Him and to walk with Him intimately. And don't look at people and say, well, they do this and they're good Christians, and they probably are. Great. Who cares? Who wants to be a good Christian? Who wants to stop where other men have stopped? I don't. And I don't want any glory for myself. I want to worship God. There's nothing more than my heart desires is to bring honor to my Father. To see revival sweep the land, I could only repent more. Seeing the work of God, seeing people be born again, and them living lives of holiness. All I can see is me just saying, God, you're so real. And it causes me to get in His presence more. It causes me to humble myself more, knowing He's powerful, and if I would get out of the way, He'll move. Letting Him be lifted up and me being put down. You guys, that's I no longer live, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith. It's a done deal. I encourage you guys this week to meditate through Romans chapters 5 through 8. It will teach you exactly what I'm telling you. It's done. Body of sin, it's been done away with. It's been put out of business. If you submit to the Spirit of God, you will be so blown away because you will be a man that pursues holiness and a man that's radically used by God. John, he says that's who Jesus was. Verse 24, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John, we'll close with this. He says, and I've seen Jesus, and I testify and declare to you that He is the Son of the living God. That is John's whole purpose to this gospel. We find Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We find they're called the Synoptic Gospels. I talked about it last week. It means to see the same. They tell us the historical life of Christ. John, he's picking out certain miracles, certain statements, Jesus Christ. He's picking out certain things. We don't find the birth of Christ here. We don't find the baptism of Christ. We find a testimony of it. We don't find the temptation of Christ. We don't find parables of Christ. We don't find Christ casting out any demons. We don't find many of things here. We don't find the Last Supper. We don't find things in John. John put them in precisely for a purpose. John has a beautiful purpose. If you go back to the tabernacle, there in the Old Testament, you see the courtyard, and you enter into the courtyard, and you'll find a brazen altar. You go into the tabernacle, you'll find a laven where they'd wash. You go inside of the first corridor of the tabernacle, and you find the table of showbread, and you find the lampstand, and you find the incense where they do burnt offerings, the incense of the altar of incense where they would have fellowship with the Lord. Then you would enter in into the very Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant would be. You guys, there's something neat about John. John, he's like taking us through the tabernacle of God in his gospel. He takes us in. The Lamb of God. He takes us right there, the brazen altar, the Lamb of God. He takes us in to the basin where Jesus says you must be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus says if you drink of this water, you would have life everlasting in chapter 4. He takes us on in. He takes us to the table of showbread. He says, I am the bread of life. If anyone eat of me, he shall never hunger again. He moves on and he takes us to, I am the light of the world, the table, the lamps, or the lampstands. I am the light of the world. Chapters 14, 15, and 16, and moving on into chapter 17, he takes us to the intimate fellowship with him and his disciples, and climaxing then in chapter 17 to the intimate fellowship between him and the Father as he's there at the incense, as it represents fellowship with the Father. And when he gets to the cross, he'll take us right through that veil, and he'll take us into the very interholy of holies. The Gospel of John is so beautiful. It shows me so many things. It's a window into eternity. You're going to find things in the Gospel of John you see in no other Gospels. John's got a purpose, and that purpose that I testify that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the God that came to be man, that showed us how to live, that walked on this earth. He wasn't a good prophet. He was the God of gods. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of you and me today. He's the God of the Old Testament. It's Jesus, and John is going to show us that so beautifully. It's a beautiful picture as we see what John has for us. And so you guys, I encourage you to study to show yourself approved unto God. You guys, take up the Word of God and live in it. Jesus said, if you drink of me, you shall never thirst again. Does your soul thirst tonight? Is He your fullness truly? Let's get real. Is He your fullness, your very all in all? You find no other need for anything else. This world, it doesn't tempt you. It's distasteable to you because it's Jesus you're living in, and He's living through you, and your soul's so satisfied. He is full. And what is it that you need? You need His Word abiding in your heart. Not only abiding in your heart, but being a doer of